Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Some of you love Jesus. You know the truth, you believe the gospel, you're saved, but if you're honest, you still feel stuck. Like something from your old life is still clinging to you. You've been forgiven, but you're still falling into the same sin. You've been raised to new life, but you don't feel fully free. You're out of the tomb, but you're still wearing old, nasty, smelly grave clothes. On this episode, I want to talk to you about the incredible story of Lazarus. Not just the miracle, but what that story reveals about your struggle, your sanctification, and why some Christian men are still tangled up in the very things Christ saved them from. If that hits a little too close to home, then good. Don't go anywhere, because this one is for you.
Oh yeah, y'all know what time it is. You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, Jason George.
Get him, Jay.
Yo, yo, thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of the Grizz Podcast. I am feeling rough today, but oh well, gotta suck it up, buttercup. I told you guys that for 2026, I'm committed to dropping a fresh episode every week. Even if I'm coming at you from a hospital bed, I don't care. I'm not in the hospital. I'm home in the Grizz Cave, but having some struggles with some meds my doc has me on to keep combating Lyme disease and some other tick infections I deal with. And on top of that, I woke up with a head cold and major sinus pressure. But I told myself, stop whining. It doesn't help, and no one cares. You got to get up and do what God's called you to do. So I was recently sitting with the story of Lazarus in John 11 and 12, and I've read it probably 100 times throughout my life, but this time I wasn't just reading it as a Bible story. I was thinking about it in light of the fight for purity, the fight for holiness, for sanctification. I was thinking of it in light of what it actually means to be a Christian man who's striving to walk with Christ in a world that constantly tries to pull us back to our old life. And I couldn't shake how much this story mirrors our own lives with what God has done for us and what we also need to do. So I just want to walk through it with you. Not preach at you, just talk with you. First, let's look at the actual story in John 11. It goes into chapter 12 as well. It's such a great story, true story in the Gospel of John. Here it is, starting at verse 1, chapter 11. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. So every time I read this story of Lazarus, I'm blown away. But if you only see the miracle of Jesus raising him from the dead, you're going to miss a lot of the real message that's in here. There are 10 truths buried in this story that can transform the way you see God, see your life, fight sin, and treat other brothers who are struggling. Let me say that again. There are 10 truths buried in this story that can transform the way you see God, see your life, the way you fight sin, and the way you treat other brothers who are struggling. Let's pull them out. Truth number one, Lazarus was stone cold dead. Jesus said plainly, Lazarus has died. Not sick, not weak, not sleeping, dead. And scripture says the exact same thing about us before Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Listen, guys, before Jesus, we weren't just struggling morally. We weren't just a little off. We weren't just confused. We were spiritually dead. No pulse, no life, no ability to revive ourselves. And that's important because dead men don't fix themselves. Dead men don't white knuckle sin away. Dead men don't install accountability software and just resurrect. Dead men don't read enough self-help books and resurrect. New life comes from outside of us. It comes from the grace of God. It comes from Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of dead men walking around, even in churches, who have religion, but they don't have real resurrection. You see, the fight for purity, the fight for holiness, it doesn't start with behavior modification. It starts with resurrection of a dead man. God must come and resurrect you who are spiritually dead and give you spiritually new life. Number two truth from this story. Jesus loved Lazarus even when he was dead and stinky. Jesus loved Lazarus even when he was dead and stinky. You see, Lazarus had been dead in the tomb 4 days. 4 days in Middle Eastern heat. There was decay, there was odor, there was mess, it was nasty, and Jesus loved him anyway. That's not sentimental, that's powerful. Romans 5:8 says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait until we smelled better. He didn't wait until we promised to do better. He loved us at our worst. Some of you listening still struggle with shame. You think, you know, if I could just get clean, then God would accept me and be proud of me. No. Listen, he loved you in the tomb. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you've done that makes him love you less. His love isn't performance-based. It's grace-based. That truth alone changes how you see God, see yourself, and how you fight sin. Because you're not fighting sin to earn his love. You're fighting from love that you already have in him. Truth number two from this story. I'm sorry, truth number three. Jesus brought Lazarus to life in his time and in his way. This part fascinates me. You see, Jesus delayed in coming to Lazarus. He heard Lazarus was sick and he stayed where he was. From a human perspective, that makes no sense. It may even seem that Jesus wasn't concerned, that he didn't care, that he didn't love Lazarus. But he was operating on divine timing, according to his Father's will. And when he finally showed up, he didn't apologize. He knew he was right on time, and he did what he does, the supernatural. He resurrected nasty, smelly Lazarus. And he does the same with us. God awakens and saves men in his time. He convicts in his time. He brings dead hearts to life in his time. You didn't choose him first. He chose you. In John 15, Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you." Listen, guys, the only reason you choose him, my brothers, is because he chose you. That humbles you, but it should also give you confidence, because if he chose you, he's not done with you. He wants to use you. I've said it before here on the podcast. I'll say it again. If you ain't dead, then God ain't done. Truth number four from this story of Lazarus. The word of Christ brought Lazarus out of the grave. You see, Jesus didn't perform a ritual. He didn't call on a medical team. He simply spoke. He simply spoke. He said the words. He gave a clear command. Lazarus, come forth. And life responded. There is no authority or power greater than Christ. And he shows it by simply saying to a dead man, Lazarus, come forth. And bam, immediately Lazarus is back from the dead and his body in the tomb. And his body is like in the tomb. It's still wrapped in grave clothes, but he just gets up. That's what happened when the gospel hit your heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That's Romans chapter 10. When Christ called you for salvation, something came alive inside of you. I got the wake-up call when I was a junior in high school sitting in a chapel service. I heard the gospel and God spoke to my heart in a way I had never experienced. And then new life began. I'm talking about 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Everyone who is in Christ becomes a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." That's what happened to me. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't choose Christ. Christ chose me, and that's why I chose him. That's why I'm still choosing him. This is why scripture matters, guys. The word of God is powerful. There's nothing like it. The Bible is not just another religious book. The Bible is the very word of God. That's why you can't drift from the word and expect to stay strong. You starve spiritually without it. You grow weak, you grow distracted, and you start wandering back towards the tomb. Without the preaching of the word of God, churches wither and die. And that's why so many churches are withering and dying, because their pastors aren't preaching the word week in and week out. A lot of them are preaching fluff, a bunch of feel-good, self-centered, man-centered, man-exalting messages. Truth number five from this story of Lazarus. Lazarus came out alive, but still wrapped in nasty, smelly grave clothes. This is the part that hits home for many of us. This is such a crucial point to help you understand why you're born again, but still feel stuck or struggling. Lazarus walked out of the grave alive, but he was still bound, alive but stuck, free but restricted, breathing, but tangled. That's a picture of so many Christian men. You're saved, you love Jesus, but you're still wrapped up in things like lust. You've got these old sinful habits, old sinful thought patterns, shame, secrecy. Listen, guys, things like porn, that's not your identity. Pride is not your identity. Greed isn't your identity. Materialism isn't your identity. Fear isn't your identity, but it's still clinging to you. It's old, nasty, smelly grave clothes, my brothers. Old death fabric hanging on to a resurrected man. And you can't climb while you're wrapped in grave clothes. The book of Hebrews says, lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily entangles us. Entangles, that word is powerful. Sin can wrap around you, restrict you, choke you. You don't feel fully free. You don't feel spiritually sharp. You don't feel confident before God. Dude, because you're alive, but you're still tangled. But then watch this. Truth number 6 from the story of Lazarus. Jesus told others, those around him, to go and unbind him. This is so good. Jesus didn't walk over and unwrap Lazarus himself. He could have. He had the power to do that. Heck, man, he could have spoken the word and the grave clothes would have fallen off and Lazarus would be standing there in a brand new bright white robe from Nordstrom's. But Jesus did something different. He said to the people around him, unbind him and let him go. Think about that. Jesus does the resurrection, but he commands Lazarus's brothers and sisters in Christ to go help him remove the old, nasty, smelly grave clothes that are binding him up, that are hindering him, that are holding him back. This is how sanctification often works, my brothers. That's Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 in action, where it says, if a brother is caught in a sin, ensnared, entangled in a sin, then you who are spiritual need to go and restore him gently. Help him get out of that sin. Get those grave clothes off. And then it goes on in Galatians 6 and it says, bear one another's burdens. This is why isolation is so deadly in the Christian life. This is why Lone Ranger Christianity does not work. You cannot remove the old, nasty, smelly grave clothes by yourself. You need your brothers from other mothers. This is where I mentioned climb teams. It's not a commercial, guys, but as a picture. Listen, it's what we're doing every week in our online recovery groups with Christian men called climb teams. Climb teams exist because grave clothes don't come off by themselves and they don't come off in isolation. You can't do it on your own. They come off in honest conversations with your brothers in Christ. Confession, accountability, truth spoken in love. Brothers saying, man, I see this pattern in your life. Let's deal with it. Or, hey, man, I dealt with that exact same struggle, but here's what helped me break free, and here's what's helping me stay free. Let me help you with the same. You see, God designed true spiritual growth to happen in community. Even Lazarus needed help. And I'm sure they didn't just take off the old, nasty, smelly grave clothes and leave Lazarus standing there buck naked. I'm sure they all pitched in to cover him with maybe one of their outer garments, or maybe they had an extra coat in their pack or a robe that they were carrying. So they help him get unbound, then they help cover him with new clothes. What was going on here, guys? What a picture. They were having church and didn't know it. I wish we saw more of this kind of legit ministry in the church, helping people break free. A brother or a sister that is caught, ensnared, tangled up in sin, and spiritual brothers and sisters go and get in their life and say, I'm here to help you. And they do it gently. They do it humbly. They realize that they too could easily fall back into the same junk, but they're like, I'm here to help. You got a burden to bear, but you're not going to bear it alone anymore. I'm going to help you. Truth number 7 from this story of Lazarus. Real faith walks away from the tomb. Real faith walks away from the tomb. Lazarus didn't come out and then crawl back in the tomb. He didn't say, man, I kind of like it in there. He walked away from the tomb and he walked towards Jesus. That's a picture of repentance, turning away from the old life, turning towards Christ and following him. The Christian life is not about perfection. I say it all the time. It's about direction. It's the direction of your life moving towards Christ. No one does this perfectly. If you were to graph my Christian life, dude, it's moving towards Christ, but it's so up and down, man. The graph looks like the freaking stock market over the last 50 years. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, but it's a steady progression of going up, becoming more like Christ. Let me ask you, is the direction of your life moving towards Christ's likeness, his character? It should be. We should be repenting repenters. Or are you slowly drifting back toward the grave that you came out of? Truth number 8 from the story of Lazarus. His transformation pointed others to Jesus. People came to see Lazarus. They heard about it. They wanted to see for themselves. Why? Because, a man who's been dead for like 4 days and then coming back to life, that's kind of a big deal. That's kind of compelling, you know? It's a little more interesting than the Super Bowl or a halftime show. Here's the point I want you to see. When a man genuinely changes, people notice. People take notice. People take notice, guys. When lust loses its grip and a man begins to walk in purity, people notice. When anger softens and a man becomes gentle, people notice. And I don't mean just because you're gentle, you're not tough. Man, true humility, true strength is having the ability to destroy, but you know how to restrain that and be soft and gentle. Genuine changes, dude. Like when integrity grows in a man's life, I'm telling you, people notice that, especially if he's just been living this old sinful life like as a dead man. When love and forgiveness for those who've wronged you replaces bitterness and hate, people notice that. You know why? Because that shows resurrection life inside of you. That's not a normal human thing. When people, dude, that you love and that you thought loved you, wrong you and dish you and try to hurt you, betray you, slander you, and you choose not to be bitter and hate, you choose to replace that with love and forgiveness. Dude, people notice. They know that that's not normal. They're like, what has happened to you? What is going on with you? Your spiritual resurrection and transformation is not just about you, guys. It's evangelistic. It's for others to notice because it points people to Christ. So people were coming to see Lazarus, a dead man who's back to life, who doesn't stink and smell anymore, who doesn't have old nasty grave clothes on anymore. He's chilling at the table, eating with Jesus. People see him, and what does it do? It points right to Jesus. That's the man you need in your life. Truth number 9 from the story of Lazarus. It's all about God's glory. Jesus said this sickness would result in the glory of God. That's the ultimate aim. That's essentially the whole point of life, guys, the glory of God. Not our glory, not our fame. It's all about him. And your recovery isn't ultimately about your happiness. I tell guys that all the time. Recovery, if you're coming out of addiction, it's not ultimately about your happiness. It's about his glory, the glory of God. Man, you come out of sin, you come out of addiction, a lot of times you aren't feeling happy. You're going through this experience of withdrawal. You are jonesing. You are craving the old sinful junk. And it can be very difficult, very miserable for a while. And many times you're also paying the price, the consequences for your sin. That can be miserable. But you got to man up. You got to own it. You got to take it. It's not about you. It's not about your happiness. It's about the glory of God. And in the end, that does ultimately benefit you. Tozer said this, A.W. Tozer, the purpose of God in redemption is not primarily the happiness of man, but the glory of God. When you break free from things like lust, greed, pride, anger, you fill in the blank. The spotlight doesn't belong on you. It belongs on the God who raised you from the dead and has been transforming you. Last one, number 10, truth from the story of Lazarus. Only Jesus raises the dead. Dude, listen, No church resurrects people. No addiction recovery program resurrects people. No app on your phone resurrects people. No coach, no pastor resurrects people. Only Jesus Christ resurrects people. Everything else can support what he's done and is doing, but he is the source of bringing new life to dead men. So let me land this plane. My brothers, you were dead. Jesus made you alive. But some of you are still wearing old, nasty, smelly grave clothes. Porn is a grave cloth. Edging, if you're like, you know, I don't really look at porn, but I edge, you know, I look at some stuff, but it's not porn. Edging is a grave cloth. Pride is a grave cloth. Lying is a grave cloth. Greed is a grave cloth. Materialism is a grave cloth. Your selfishness is a grave cloth. The way you slander and talk about others is a grave cloth. Your shame is a grave cloth. Your isolation is a grave cloth. And Jesus is still saying, unbind him. Let him go. He calls you out from all of that. And he's calling your brothers to come and help you. And he's calling you to go help your brothers. He places you in community to get you untangled from your old, nasty, smelly grave clothes. Not with condemnation, not with shame, but with grace. And when those grave clothes fall off, your life points to him. God is glorified. And heaven becomes more crowded as your life draws others to Christ. Stay tuned for a few quick closing items of Grizz Biz. My brothers, if this episode encouraged you, don't keep it to yourself. Copy the link and send it to a friend who needs it. Why would you sit on something that could help another man in his own climb? And wherever you're listening to the Grizz Podcast, hit that subscribe button and leave a quick rating and review. That simple step helps more Christian men find this show. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, my email is in the show notes, jason@narrowtrail.com. You can also learn more about our ministry at narrowtrail.com. We also have a private Facebook group for Christian brothers called the Grizz Tribe. If you're looking for encouragement and community, you're welcome to join us there. Now also, guys, listen to me. If you are tired of falling into pornography, if you're tired of falling into some sort of sexual lust, fighting that battle alone, if you know that you need solid biblical guidance, you need real brotherhood, you need real accountability, then it's time to take the next step. Apply for one of our climb teams. Go to narrowtrail.com, click on the climb team page, and you'll learn all about it. And at the bottom of the page, you can fill out the online application. My brother, you don't have to stay in the pit anymore. You don't have to keep wearing the grave clothes anymore. There's a rope, there's a team, and dude, we are here to hook you in and say, come on, climb with us. Also, guys, if God has used this podcast in your life, say you've been listening for months, or some of you even for years, and this podcast has helped you, it's sharpened you, it's encouraged you. Dude, don't just consume, help contribute. This is a nonprofit ministry, and we need your support to keep reaching more men. Whether it's a one-time donation or you choose to set up a recurring gift, my brothers, whatever God lays on your heart, I just want to say thank you. You can give at narrowtrail.com by clicking on our give page, or simply text the word give to 301-888-6860, 301-888-6860, and you can set that up with whatever amount you would like to give. And one more thing, guys, protect yourself. Get Covenant Eyes on all of your devices and on your kids' and teens' devices. It's one of the wisest safeguards you can put in place. Go to CovenantEyes.com and use the promo code GRIZZIN, GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN, to get your first month completely free just to try it out. Protect yourself before you wreck yourself. Keep climbing, my brothers. The Grizz is out.